You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. Chapter 2, Finland, Part 2.
Leutset Uudellamaalle toimittajana Saara Hirvonen, hyvää päivää. Länsiradan viimeiset osakaskunnat Lohja ja Salo päättävät tänä iltana, lähtevätkö ne mukaan uuden länsiradan toteuttamiseen. Ylen tietojen mukaan ainakin osa Lohjan valtuutetuista empii edelleen kantansa ratakysymykseen. Kirkkonummen kunta päätti viime maanantaina vetäytyä hankkeesta. Muut osakaskunnat ovat tähän mennessä hyväksyneet ratahankkeen. Länsi-Pasilassa sijaitsevan Auroran sairaala-alueen korttelin asemakaavaa muutetaan. Vanha paviljonkisairaala-alueen maisemakokonaisuus suojellaan. Uusi kaava mahdollistaa sairaalarakennusten muuttamisen esimerkiksi asunnoiksi tai liiketiloiksi. Muutostyöt edellyttävät mittavia korjaustoimia rakennuksissa. Kaavakäsittelyn jälkeen rakentaminen voisi mahdollisesti alkaa 2-3 vuoden kuluttua. Pääkaupunkiseudun metroliikenne liikennöi poikkeusvälein aamupäivän ajan. Helsingin seudun liikenteen mukaan syynä on tekninen vika, jonka vuoksi liikennettä ajetaan harvennetulla vuorovälillä. Tämä on aiheuttanut vuorojen perumisia ja myöhästymisiä, joiden arvioidaan kestävän kello 11 saakka. Espoon kaupunki haluaa perustaa 4 uutta luonnonsuojelualuetta. Suojelua suunnitellaan Marssäärin, Kuusikodin ja Ruukinrannan metsäalueille sekä Lindholmin luotojen lintuluodoille ja vedenalaisille arvokohteille. Suojeltava pinta-ala olisi yhteensä lähes 70 hehtaaria. Myös Helsingin kaupunki valmistelee luonnonsuojelualueen perustamista Laajasalon Varisluodon karille, jossa esiintyy uhanalaisia ja elinvoimaisia luontotyyppejä. Ja tämä Varisluodon kari kuuluu maakunnallisesti tärkeisiin lintualoisiin Uudellamaalla.
Uutitte päätyttyä kello 10.32 ja ihan kohta puhutaan työnhaun ongelmista. Ylen MOT uutisoi tänään haamutyöpaikoista, joissa on kyse siis siitä, että työnhakijat kertovat havainneilla, kuinka samat työpaikat ilmantuu vähän väliä uudelleen hakuun. Ja MOT löysi muun muassa työpaikan, johon oli haettu tekijää samalla ilmoituksella 46 kertaa. Miksi tällaista tehdään ja kuka tässä oikein voittaa? Siitä kohta keskustellaan tutkivan toimittajamme Anne Alihokan kanssa.
Tule avaamaan ovella huuralla huuran, ovi aukeaa. Se on veljesi Laura, tais vieraita, menen sisälle kättelen vanhemmat. Ovella huuralla huuran, papi syntyi kuumeessa. Annen poika,
It's weird because we just sort of stumble upon these things, you know. We're not asking to be in the middle, but we suddenly are. For instance, the other day, we wanted to, actually it was yesterday, we wanted to just get a cup of coffee, and we found ourselves in the middle of this huge Christmas market that was right outside the place where we were getting coffee. And that was like over an hour of just entertainment walking around in there.
Yeah, it was so well attended, being that it was the weekend, and I believe Father Christmas was there making an appearance.
Was that not Santa Claus? That was Santa Claus. It was listed as Santa Claus.
Yes, he looked... I recognize him. I think he looked a lot like Santa Claus, so I think it was the Santa Claus. And we just sort of moseyed around that whole area. It's right in front of a cathedral.
It was. I'll just interrupt for a second. We're in the train station right now. But, Kyle, I think we should get back to where we started. Can we get to a tram?
Oh, yeah. The trams are straight out that door.
All right, let's go that way. I think we want a number 9 tram heading back in our direction.
Yeah, 9 will do it.
Okay, and all we have to do is wait for that and hop on it, and hopefully we'll be back fairly soon. But, yeah, it's every country has different traditions. Their Santa Claus or Father Christmas or whatever just looked different and acted different.
Yeah, absolutely. And was jolly all the same.
Yes. Okay, we're exiting now onto the street.
Waving at people and just basically getting people excited about the year. We got our obligatory glue wine, some mulled wine, and basically just soaked up the ambiance and tried to warm up a little bit in one of their little chalets.
Yeah, it really was kind of cold, and it was good to be able to just hang out and have warm wine and just feel better that way. We saw a wedding, too, out of the cathedral.
Yeah, we waited for them to exit the cathedral. It was a marriage that was just finishing up, and we didn't quite know, but we had a feeling as the attendees of the wedding were lining up along the stairwell.
Well, we thought it might be a funeral. We didn't know.
Yeah, it was kind of a toss-up at that point, but I had a feeling you don't really have a photographer for a funeral kind of directing everybody to get in position.
But imagine if you did. You know, we came up with a business plan for that while we were waiting. But yeah, it was just something. You know, all these things just were unfolding. Hang on, I don't want to get run over here. So we want the 9 on the other side of the street. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. I just jaywalked. Nobody jaywalks here. Yeah, there's a little red pedestrian light, and everybody is waiting for that to turn green before they cross. And I'm sorry I didn't do that just now. All right, so I think we're at the right section. This is going the right direction, I believe. And our tram is here in 4 minutes, because it's that accurate.
And best believe it will be here then.
Yeah, it'll be 2 before it.
But the great thing, though, is there's so many alternatives. There's the 3, I think, would get us where we want to go. There's buses. You're never really out of options. And that is really refreshing. It really comes down to just problem solving, especially if you have a day pass.
Yes, yes. It's a good idea to have that day pass, because they do check occasionally. And if you don't have the day pass, well, that's €100 right there. Okay, so we're only here for a couple of days. I've been trying to do as much as we possibly can. I've only been to Helsinki once before. Kyle, this is your first time in Helsinki, in Finland, in fact. Any impressions or feelings you'd like to share?
It's a big city. There's a lot of people. I just noticed a lot of, I think, the culture, the holidays certainly are giving it a festive spirit, so I like that. But I think they definitely really, like, are intentional about infrastructure, this sort of transit thing and the busyness of it. There seems to be like a good amount of investment in the things that matter. Like you had pointed out, our trip on the light rail system that was installed very quickly. All that was a replacement for bus lines. that had been kind of languishing and not serving the outer suburbs as well, and they opted to put in light rail, and they did it quickly.
They built the whole thing in less than 5 years, which is unbelievable.
You just get the sense that they invest. They have the money, and they have a sort of willingness. And I don't know. I like the attitude, the kindness people extend. I felt in many situations I wasn't respecting or at least trying enough to maybe learn the language. Someone spoke to me in Finnish actually several times in transactions and stuff, and at one point I apologized that I hadn't learned more to someone that was helping me with something or, you know, the service that I was paying for. You obviously you want to be able to respond or be able to understand, and those moments you feel like, ah, I should have picked up at least a thank you or something like that. I'm kicking myself for not being more considerate in that regard. But I have found that there's a lot of tolerance for tourists, for people that speak English. There's English being spoken just casually amongst people, students. It seems to be a go-to amongst peers and amongst different social groups versus explicitly hearing Finnish in certain contexts. So I'm noticing that though there is a huge language barrier with the written words and signage and names and stuff, and in the spoken language, it's certainly not a requirement. There's quite a bit of understanding of English, understanding of people who are not English speakers. If you need help with something and that's your default language, simply saying, can we speak English or do you speak English, is an easy way to establish communication.
Something weird has happened. Our tram has been passed by the tram behind it, but that's the 3 tram, and I think the 3 goes to where we're going too, right?
Yeah, we could try a 3.
Okay, somehow it passed R9, so let's just get on this 3 and we'll take it back. Might be a little crowded. Okay, this is good right here.
Yeah, despite being concerned about cultural faux pas and the like, I feel very comfortable here. I don't feel as self-conscious in many ways. I feel like I can get along and explore, and people are just incredibly nice and gracious and curious. Where are you from? What is your story? They want to chat you up or just exchange a smile. There's no problem with that. As cold as it is, people here are quite warm in how they receive you.
I wish it was colder. I really do. But that's me. I think a lot of Finnish people want it colder as well. We're here. We're back where we started now. And look, it's the metro station again. All right, so here we are back where we started. But still, you know, there's a lot we can talk about. We didn't even mention that we went to another one of those, what do you call them, pools?
It's called a public pool.
Public pool. You know, I've never actually done this before, not like this. I wanted to compare it to what Iceland was like, which was really interesting and different. How would you describe the differences between this place and what we experienced in Iceland?
Well, in many ways, it's very similar. This facility was interesting because it's subterranean. It was built underground in what I believe was a former bunker. And you could
everything in this town a bunker or a bomb shelter?
Well, as I said, there's a lot of dual use and consideration for the sensitivities and proximity to adversaries. But when you have these spaces, repurposing them and using them for public good, just as you would in a crisis, is probably the best way to use them. I had looked into traditional sauna, very kind of small, very old. I even found, I think, the last wood-burning sauna in the city. I thought that might be interesting, but also kind of narrow in what it was, and it wasn't very much like what our experience was in Reykjavik. And honestly, a lot of the public pools have the same type of services. It's just not as small. It's part of a bigger facility. And the real advantage is it's incredibly affordable. I believe we paid something on the order of like 6 euro.
Yeah, 6 euro. That was it.
It was almost half of what we ended up paying to go to the one in Reykjavik, which was itself really, really affordable. We brought our towels. We brought swimwear again, so we didn't have any extra charges. Paid at the counter, which I will say, this is a total diversion, but contactless payment is such a gift because there are so many things that we're able to do that just you tap and you're done. There's no other part of the transaction. So all we did was tap our payment. We got tokens for the lockers.
Wait, can I just step in on the contactless payment? Because I have just a couple of observations of that too.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's, first of all, why is it called contactless? Because I always am tapping something and there's contact when I do that. But whatever. But you know, it's
what would you call it?
I don't know, but not that.
Magic wand payment?
Something. It's just okay. Whatever. Maybe I can try holding it over, and maybe it'll work then. But it never really has for me. Also, you know, I always have trouble finding the place where I'm supposed to do the touching, because there's a pictorial of it, and then there's where you're supposed to do it, and I always wind up touching the wrong one. But whatever, that's me.
Sometimes they point. Sometimes they help you and they show you where on the machine it is, because there's a logo for the little radio waves where
right.
You tap RFID stuff, but it's not always clear on some of these machines.
Sometimes they just take your card and do it themselves. But, you know, what's interesting, too, is when you're at a restaurant or a bar or something like that, and they bring the little machine to you and you tap it, the amount just shows up there. And as we talked about previously, you always pick the local currency. But I expect there to be, you know, something for a tip. And many times there isn't. And there's literally no way to tip. And tipping is not expected. And that's kind of refreshing. And I guess if you do want a tip, it's rather unusual. But if you do, you can't do it by credit card. And since I don't have any actual local cash, there's nothing I can do. But apparently that's okay. Anyway, back to the pools.
Yeah, so the payment process was very smooth, and we were able to just basically go about getting changed. We did ask, are there any rules? What should we know as far as tips or guidelines? And they were very kind and didn't really have much to add, just basically clarified. I was asking about where to put shoes, because that was a thing in Reykjavik. I'm not sure it was the same. And they verified it was not the same. They didn't care about shoes necessarily. There was a foot wash shower when you go from the lockers into the bathing area. But those are things that we picked up when we were looking at signage once we got down there. I will say it was not as clear in this facility that it was as welcoming. But the staff was wearing shirts and lanyards and things, little ways of symbolizing with rainbow colors that it was an LGBT-friendly space. So if that's important to some listeners, obviously it's something that we look out for and want to share with people. That put me at ease in a lot of ways, knowing that, again, this is a place for all people, because it wasn't certified in the same way that it was in Reykjavik, and I felt so much kind of anxiety about rules and just the kind of space you're getting into. There are little signs that let people know that they're welcome there and they can feel at home, that this is a place where they can relax and take advantage of all there is for everybody else. So I looked and noticed that kind of thing as I was walking away, and given that it wasn't explicit, it was a subtle way, I think, that they're able to let people know. So we made our way down to the lockers and gathered our belongings, figured out the locker. They give you a token, which was supposed to be a 50 euro cent piece, but ended up, I think, just being a washer.
Yeah.
And that was your way to retrieve the key from the locker that had, like, a little rubber band on it. But it was really unusual because the signage was telling you to do one thing, and the people in there were not doing necessarily what the signage was saying. And that was kind of paradoxical, because a lot of what I had read about the cultural traditions here were that they were a little bit more strict about where you are to wear swim trunks and towels and not.
Right, like in the shower, you're not supposed to be wearing swim trunks.
So,
and almost everybody was.
Exactly. So imagine you're going in expecting, with maybe a little bit of anxiety because you're not necessarily attuned to the culture from your upbringing, you're going to walk into a space and, you know, have to go a little outside your comfort zone, and you realize, wow, there's a lot of people not doing that, so if I do that, you know, go out on a limb and think, follow the rules and do what I think is the cultural norm, I'm going to end up being the only person, and I'm not even from here. So that was a little bit of something we had to gauge at every point in this pool. Like, am I making some kind of rude faux pas to people that expect that? Or is this something that is antiquated and the people in this community aren't really sharing in? Or is it a matter of cultural distinctions? People that have a different sense of privacy and modesty, and they don't necessarily want to participate in what is that intangible Finnish cultural heritage. So navigating all of that became very confusing very quickly, because we wanted to be respectful and embrace things and try things and not break the rules, but we also didn't want to be exhibitionists in this facility. But I think we found a careful balance. It was also very hard. I mean, there was a little bit of signage, but it was very hard to gauge what was where in the facility, and we had to kind of walk around and look into it. So when we were bathing initially, we rinsed off, but we were already ready to go in our swim trunks because it didn't seem like that was what was going on. So we were kind of transgressing but going with what we were seeing around us, and then walked out to go and try to find a hot tub. We walked and saw, like, diving platforms and water slides. They had a bunch of training pools and wading pools, none of which interest us at the moment. And then we walked upon, I think, a cold pool, which I was like, okay, you know, I'll maybe do that, but...
And I was, no, I'm not going to do that.
But I'm not ready for that yet. I need to be warm before I'm cold. So we walked around and found, like, a more social, what looked like a hot tub, and it had a lot of jets and bubbles going.
It was a warm tub, and it was very social.
It was very social, but it wasn't that hot. We ended up going in anyway. I said, okay, let's do this. And we ended up sitting in the middle of it while the people on the perimeter were experiencing all these bubbles and jets. And there were a lot of rambunctious young people there.
It was weird because, you know, the older people were just kind of like relaxing by the jets, and the younger people were just screaming their heads off and, you know, playing games and stuff like that, which is fine. But, you know, what I realized about Finnish culture, my interpretation anyway, is that they are very tolerant of people who act differently. And in this particular case, yeah, these people aren't really following the rules. They're, you know, they're new perhaps, or they're from a different background or whatever. But it didn't seem to affect their level of enjoyment of what they were doing. So it was interesting to see, you know, these different interpretations of what proper behavior in this kind of a place was. And, you know, as Kyle said, we're not even from here, so we don't really know which way we're supposed to act. So it was just kind of interesting. But I have to say, I wasn't as impressed with that place as far as what they offered. I was impressed with the saunas. Oh, my God. They had... they had three, actually. Four, if you count the female sauna in the poolside. But there were two on the outer perimeter. One was 60 degrees Celsius, which was hot. And then there was another one next to that that was 80 degrees Celsius. Now, keep in mind, 100 degrees Celsius is boiling water. I went into both. I could tolerate the 60 for a while. The 80, you could feel the pain. You walked in there, you could feel like you were burning. And you realize this is what it must be like to live on Venus. There are people who are staying in there for you know, many minutes. And I couldn't handle more than three or four, I don't think. it was an experience, and the other place did not have that.
Yeah, I didn't really realize where those were. I think you saw them, and it didn't register, but those two were located in the shower facility, in the men's locker. We had passed that going out to try to figure out where everything was, and after we were in this sort of lukewarm bubble pool with all the people on the perimeter and people playing, we walked around and looked into what was called a steam bath. We went in there first, and there were several people in there, most of whom were clothed. A couple people were not, which immediately we had walked in with our bathing clothes on. So we just basically found the only available spot in there and experienced that for a little bit. But there were another group of young people that came in, and we saw people leave and come and go a little bit. And this group of three boys, they started screaming and playing like this, like brinksmanship, one-upping how loud they could scream thing.
In a sauna. Screaming in a sauna. That's just not done.
It was incredibly rude. And, like, I don't know. I was wildly irritated by this, but I didn't want to, like, bark.
Sauna is supposed to be relaxing, Kyle.
Yeah, I didn't want to bark at anybody and be indignant or come at them like some grouchy adult, but I was feeling my grouchy adultness, and they did it a couple times, and some other people left. Then they did it again obnoxiously at the same volume. And we were like, all right, we're out of here. You are idiots. Youthful idiots, but not for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're going to have a fight, a sauna is a good place to do it, I guess. but it was interesting experience. But again, it didn't compare to the other one, I don't think.
Yeah, and that eventually we found by going back into the locker room. We had looked for everything else. I was looking for hot tubs. There's no hot tubs there. Not one. In Reykjavik, they had like three or four at different temperatures. So when we walked back in, you pointed it out again. You said, there's the saunas. And as you said, they're 60 degree and 80 degree. We went into the 60 degree together and stayed in there for a while. There were, again, a number of other people in there. Someone was splashing water onto the rocks. This is a traditional sauna with stones that are heated and wood paneling. And you have a bucket of water, and you dose the water onto the rocks. The steam bath was automated, much in the way the one was in Reykjavik that we experienced. So this was our actual first authentic sauna experience.
See, I keep calling the other one a sauna, too, but I know that's not right. But to me, it sure felt the same.
But I'm not really sure myself. I mean, we're just going by how it's labeled. Someone could tell us, I'm sure, what the distinction is. I think it really is the steam pumped in or heated in some other way? I heard the term infrared. I don't know if that's used. I know infrared is used in saunas. I'm not sure. I think it's just piped in steam in a steam bath where it's just consistently high humidity at a warm temperature. The saunas themselves, though, are much more geared towards the sweating, opening of your pores, that type of thing, and using it in contrast with cold. So we tried the 60 degree, and I went into the cold tank briefly.
I don't know how you... I mean, I've done that, but I don't know how you do that.
It may have been that I rinsed off and then went into the 80 degree. It was either after the 60 and a rinse and then the 80... But the 80 was, as you said, really intense. There was someone in there just pouring water onto the rock.
There were no screaming kids in there, I'll tell you that.
No, although there were some young people that came in and stayed for a little bit.
Yeah, but they weren't screaming when they came out. They were they were in shell shock when they came out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was a intense. I stayed in as long as I could, and basically one person from the other side, after you left, at one point kind of waved to the guy that had been putting water on the rocks continuously, like almost two buckets worth, And he was like, it's really hot over here in English. Come sit over here. And so the guy walked over and sat where he was sitting. And the person who had told him that walked over and started taking charge of adding water and did it in a little bit slower fashion and was making eye contact with us, being the rest of us in the sauna, kind of nodding and recognizing that he had stopped the pain for a little bit. But that was incredible. The hottest I'd ever been in something like that. I really haven't had a lot of these experiences, but it was really intense. I did sort of get used to it, but it was terribly hard to breathe through your nose. It was burning.
Yeah.
Burning hot.
I don't know if it's possible for a sauna to get hotter than 80 degrees Celsius. I really think that's the maximum, and I don't recommend people do that for very long if they do decide to venture into that.
Yeah, and I guess they were trying to prove something, but after that, I definitely went into the cold tank, stayed in there for a little while.
You see, that's what I don't get. You expose yourself to 80 degrees Celsius, the hottest temperature I think anyone can tolerate, and then you immediately go into this freezing cold pool. I mean, your body must be saying all kinds of curse words at you.
Absolutely, and it's the contrast between hot and cold. And I was sweating a lot when I was in the hotter temperature sauna. So, of course, after I was, like, thinking to myself, I'm covered in sweat. I can't go out into the pool. So I went and rinsed off. And at that point, this is when I kind of, like, realized, okay, for sanitary reasons and because this is in the men's locker room, I'm going to take off my trunks and rinse off like I should because I don't want to bring, you know, a bunch of sweat and stuff into the cold tank. So I did that, rinsed off, cooled off, and that's how you get the contrast. You go from high heat to very, very cold and then back. And a lot of the spa treatments and things that are sort of organized have this kind of methodology, sort of a very discrete steps going from one mode to another, to like a mist to cool off, or going outside of the sauna in, you know, air temperature in the winter. But that contrast is alleged, and I think proven is the word that's used often, to help or be a big part of the health benefits of this type of bathing. So I wanted to take advantage of that. Obviously, the facilities have the cold part, and having been in the most hot environment I've ever been in my life, I was absolutely wanting to get my core temperature back to something somewhat normal.
And a day after all this, how do you feel?
Fantastic.
All right, well, there you go. It's definitely an experience worth doing, and now I've done it twice, even though the two experiences weren't quite the same.
Yeah.
It definitely has an effect. You do feel healthier, your skin feels better, and it's, you know, especially when traveling, it's very relaxing to do something like that. You know, screaming teenagers notwithstanding.
Yeah, it's true. You just have to kind of navigate these things, assess what you're comfortable with. I did go back into the 60 degree with you right before we called it a night, and there was just one gentleman in there, and he was kind of slowly adding to the rocks, and that was quite pleasant. And at one point, a bunch of gentlemen came in to that room, and it was filling up with people, and they were all nude. And some of us had shorts on. And
yeah, it went in waves somehow. All of a sudden, you had a nude crowd, and then you had a non-nude crowd. You didn't know what to do.
And I felt really guilty then because the dynamic is shifting to where now the people that are wearing swimwear are the ones that are kind of the odd person out. And I'm, like, kind of taking up space and breaking the rules. And it was very strange to try to navigate that and figure out what I'm comfortable with and, you know, what is the norm.
But again, it's that tolerance, you know. There's no judgment. There's no criticism of any sort. Everything that, you know, you feel is coming from us, from within, you know. Are we doing something wrong? And I think the Finnish culture is just to tolerate what is going on. You know, it's an enjoyable thing.
I myself am very novice, very inexperienced with all of this kind of culture, And it truly was a learning experience and something that I really enjoyed. I would love to see what other places and other types of these spots are like, given there are so many. In Finland, it's a country of, I think, around 6 million.
That tram was a Helsinki Pride tram. It's a rainbow theme.
You don't say.
Yeah, it said Helsinki Pride all over it.
I saw the colors. I didn't register that, though. But one last point is that this is a country of six million people, and there are like 4 million saunas.
Or it's
like,
oh, that's not true.
It's like, it's something like that. Where there's
4 million saunas?
There's like, or it's like, there's 4 million people, and there's like nearly 3 million saunas in the country. Like, it is a big deal here.
So I'm going to look into that.
It runs the gambit. There are so many different types of these spaces, and it is really a crucial way to warm up in the winter, and is something that people find a lot of enjoyment and a lot of national pride in. And it was really, really neat to seek it out and get just a little bit of that experience. And it's something that both in Iceland and in Finland, people are encouraged to do, to really get what the society and the culture is all about.
Well said. And with that, we're going to bring things to a close here in Finland, which I don't think we could recommend highly enough for people to come visit. It's probably totally different in the summertime, but here in winter, where you only get a few hours of light a day, it's still an incredible place, very cozy and warm in other ways. And, you know, it really isn't all that cold. It snowed back home, and it's not snowing here. I think it's me. I think I just don't bring the snow with me anymore. But this is an incredible place just to hang out for a few days. And we will talk to you again from someplace else.
Absolutely. And thanks for joining me and finding so many cool things with me. And just coming along for the ride. I'm really happy that we're able to get back out there, get moving again the way we're used to, and bringing our listeners along with us.
Who knows where we will go next?
Vain hetken rakkauden sinun kanssasi voi. Silloin uskoin mä onnehen, kun sä lentesi toi. Mä luulin, että sun lempi on kestävää, mut särkyi haaveet mun, kaikki muuttui kuin jää. Kerran kauniiksi kaiken tein, sinun vuoksesi vain. Mutta toiveet nuorutein, nähdä turvaksi sain. Tuon hetken rakkauden, muistot haittua saa. Ja haaveet särkyneet, nyt jo voi unohtaa. Get up, boys. silloin vasta päiväni, joka onneni toi. Tuon hetken rakkauden liekki sammu vinoin, kun uuteen onneen jälleen uskoa toi. Kerran kauniiksi kaiken tein, minun vuoksesi vain, mutta toiveet nuoruhein nähdä turhaksi sain. Tuon hetken rakkauden muistot haistua saa, ja haaveet särkyneet nyt jo voi unohtaa.
Järvi Radio.
Chapter 3. Estonia.
Live Nation esitleb. Moota muusika üks omapärasemaid ja kompromissitumaid hääli. Tori Amos. 27. mail Alexela kontsertmajas. Tori Amos. In Times of Dragons. 27. mail Alexela kontsertmajas. Piletid piletilevist.
Gustav Adolfi koolituskeskus Tallinna vanalinnas kutsub õppima. Avatud on eksamite ettevalmistus põhikooli ja gümnaasiumi õpilastele. Huvikool, eelkool ning keeltekool. Hea ettevalmistus tagab edu. Vaata lähemalt gakk.ee.
Kuld või hõbemünt on eriline jõulukingitus, mis hoiab oma väärtust läbi aastate. Tutvu valikuga David esindustes Sikkupilli, Kristiine, Rokalmaare või Väikejärve keskustes ning Tartu Lõunakeskuses. Vaata ka david.ee.
Buumile annab hoogu SEB Pank.
Oleme tagasi Buumi eetris, saate Tõet Pärna ja Anto Liivat ning meie tänane saate külaline on hea teo sihtasutuse tegevjuht Pirko Valge.
Lugupeetud reisija, Reis Tallinn aegviidu väljub 10 minuti pärast. Reis Tallinn aegviidu väljub 10 minuti pärast. Teiselt tee.
Well, in case that wasn't clear, we're at a train station here in Tallinn. For some reason, Kyle's all the way over there, making his way over here. I was just listening to the train station announcement. It was really informative.
Did you want to talk to me?
Well, I mean, I figure since we're both here, might as well talk to each other, since no one else is going to talk to us. But we are here in Tallinn. Actually, you know, we're here an hour before our train leaving the country because we're so confused and concerned that we might not do it properly. Some things here are very easy to do. Some things are overly complicated for no particular reason. And leaving the country is one of those things. You have to take two trains. We're heading to Riga in Latvia. So in order to do that, we have to take a train to the border and then get on another train that's a Latvian train, take that into their capital. But in order to buy tickets, you would think the ticket office would be the place to do that. But no, they say do that online or do it on the train. And I don't know what the purpose of the ticket place is.
Well, they said that it was international. So I think that basically they're only able to sell domestic tickets. They can't sell stuff that goes across the border.
Well, the first train isn't going across the border. They could have sold us that ticket, but they didn't seem to want to. And when I went online to try to buy it, it was really complicated. We were so concerned and worried that there's only one train a day that goes that far. So we had to make sure that we got here in time. It leaves at 10:10 in the morning. It's currently just after 9. That's how paranoid we were. The station's getting busy. I see a bunch of school kids are arriving by train. I guess that's how they get to school.
Yeah, and they kind of wander and meander to and fro in large groups, kind of like they're on a field trip. But I assume this is regular commuting. And, and in true form, of course, there's also a lot of commuters, people getting up, getting their coffee, going to work, going to get their day.
Announcement here.
I can
tell you that's the train to Keila, leaving on track 5 at 9:25. Our train goes to Valga, that's the 10:10, and then in Valga we have about a 15-minute window to catch the train to Riga, which is Ria in Latvian. So we have to keep all those things in mind. But yeah, it's weird to see like a 12-year-old kid being a commuter, but that's kind of what they do here. Even local, on the trams and buses, you see kids just getting on buses by themselves.
Yeah, it's just the best route, and it's a normal part of the day. It's not probably offered by the schools themselves, and they have so much transport and different modes and such connectivity with the different trams and trains and buses that it probably just is the logical thing. And we see the same kinds of things in big cities like in New York. There's plenty of people that commute, young and old, on the subway or other forms of transit.
That's the thing. In New York, you will see kids getting on the subway by themselves. But if you go to, say, Georgia or something, you know, out in the country, a kid walks to the store by himself, they call the police. So it's really kind of a contrast of values and habits. We got a day pass. Actually, we got a 3-day pass because it was just so damn cheap. I think it was something like €5 for a 1-day pass and €9 for a 3-day pass. And there is no 2-day pass, so we needed to use something for 2 days. So the €9 made sense, but it was difficult to get the card. Kyle, I know you took on this project, as you seem to be doing in every city we go to, getting the permanent plastic cards that you just slap onto the entry to a bus or a train. Hang on, another announcement.
Lugupeetud reisijad, reis Tallinn aegviidu väljub 5 minuti pärast. Teiselt tee. Reis Tallinn aegviidu väljub 5 minuti pärast. Teiselt tee.
Okay, I don't know what he was saying there, but there is a train to Ejvidu, I think, on track 2 at 9:30. Then there's the train to Paldiski at 9:45 on track 6. The train to Who am I reading this for? The train to Viljandi. Oh, now the screen went off. Okay, it's back. Train to Viljandi on track 3 at 9:59. The train to Turba on track 8 at 10:05. And then our train to Valga on track 4 at 10:10. Our train, by the way, is the only one with two numbers. Our train is 12 and 112. All the other ones are just three-digit numbers. Okay, so we got the day pass. What did we have to go through to get the day pass, Kyle?
Well, we were trying to find a retailer where we could purchase it, and we looked up online the different businesses. I picked one of them, which was a chain called Prisma, and we went in to basically inquire, and it was a little tricky. The staff was busy and just told us no, and then we thought we'd ask maybe another person. They basically said, why don't you come around to the cash register? And, well, we had been walking around there and noticed there was a soft drink we liked, so we grabbed a couple of those and went
to pay. You can say it's Club Mate. We found Club Mate in Estonia. Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, as one might expect. So we walked up with our drinks and figured, okay, we'll purchase these, and then you could show them a picture from, like, a website so that maybe they can direct us exactly, or maybe they sell it at the register and just include it with this other purchase. So we went there, and you showed the picture after we got the stuff sort of rung up, and then she was sort of indicating a pen. She wanted to write something down and just wrote down our kiosk, and I was thinking, okay, what is that? Is that like a machine we're supposed to find somewhere, or what is that? And she just sort of pointed and talked about, you know, going around to the bus terminal.
Yeah.
And I think it was nearby, so we kind of were a little bit taken aback because this place had been listed as a place that sells these, but apparently they didn't, and she was kindly directing us to this other place, which I thought was an automated machine. Turns out it's a convenience store of sorts.
Yeah, and every time you see a list, there's a good chance it's going to be wrong, and the things you're told won't actually be true. So, they did not sell the passes in that store. They sold them in the convenience stores. Hold on.
Lugupeetud reisija, reis Tallinn aegviinu väljub 2 minuti pärast.
Teiselt teel.
Reis Tallinn aegviinu väljub 2 minuti pärast.
Teiselt teel.
Have you picked up any Estonian since we've been here?
Not one word.
Yeah, it's a mysterious language. I think it's somewhat related to Finnish, which is also an amazing language. But I'm aware when it's being spoken, and train announcements certainly. No translation to English, you just kind of have to figure it out yourself. And that's fine, we can do that. So we got the day passes, or the 3-day passes, and the woman at the convenience store did a good job explaining to us you have to tap in every time you get on a bus or a tram. And, it was unclear how do we do it every single time, once an hour, once a day. But the message I got from her was that it's every time you get on. Not when you get off, when you get on. And so we started riding around. And first place we went to is here, the train station, because we wanted to figure out, when we are leaving, where do we go? And it's good to always get that information out of the way so you know how to get there quickly and where your train will be. And that's where we found out, the whole ticket buying complication. But the funny thing is, when we tried going somewhere else on the using our pass, we got on a bus, and instead of getting green lights, when we got it gave us red lights, and the driver was saying something to us about how we couldn't ride that particular bus.
That's right. I believe it was called a Go bus, but a lot of the color schemes are similar. These blue and white and turquoise and white, sort of a green and white. There are so many different buses, and it was hard to discern unless you really were paying attention. But we did kind of take a second look and realize that, yeah, there's like 5 different bus types. Some are intercity regular buses, and others, I think, are more regional or specialized or specified in some way.
They're all blue. They're all the same shade of blue.
So it really was befuddling to us how we can be denied when we have a day pass that's supposedly going to work on pretty much anything in the city.
And not only are they all the same shade of blue, they stop at the same stops. So some buses you can get on, some buses you can't. We finally figured it out. Actually, we just looked it up. But it turns out that buses 1 through 99, you can ride with the day pass. Anything above that, and there's a lot above that, 3-digit buses, you can't ride. I don't know how to get a pass where you can ride those as well, but there's only so much we can tackle in one trip. But we certainly did walk around a lot and explore. There's a lot of bits of old town here that date back so many centuries. I want to say the 15th century, the 13th century. It's incredible. It really is. And every place you go to in those regions is a piece of history. You have this incredible stone wall that's in virtually every shop that you walk into or every building. Parliament is up on the hill. Embassies. We saw all kinds of embassies and expensive cars.
Yeah, as it turns out, the upper part of the old town is for the seat of government and is still active. There are diplomatic residences and, of course, the Tallinn City Hall and seat there for, I believe, Estonian Parliament. And as you go down into the lower town, apparently historically it was for like craftsmen and the workers of the city, and that itself has a lot of interesting businesses, but the architecture, as you said, is very, very well preserved and retrofitted. They repurpose it and are able to occupy it with businesses and people for whatever the purpose is without completely demolishing the character and historic nature of it. And it is a World Heritage Site, so walking up there was very interesting. And we did see, I think, the consulate to Monaco. They had a gate open while we were walking down the alley, and a Lamborghini SUV pulled out and left. And then before the gates closed, a Aston Martin SUV came in and parked in the very same place.
That's a Monaco changing of the guard.
Right. And then we walked around to another part of a building, and there was a Rolls-Royce SUV. So obviously they're well-heeled and sparing no expense for their attachés or whatever types of individuals are occupying these spaces.
I had no idea embassies were so profitable.
Yeah, and well, a lot of these nations are they're doing quite well. They have real money.
Well, Monaco certainly does. And it's funny, too, because I was here, the only other time I was here was back in 2003, which is the first year that this show was on. So while I didn't record while I was traveling, I did take pictures and I did talk about it when I got back. And one of the things that happened, I remember this quite well, is that I almost, I did have the cops called on me by Americans because I took a picture of the American consulate or embassy or whatever it was. And some Marine didn't like that and called the damn cops. I mean, I left before they arrived, but, you know, all my travels through Eastern Europe, there was never an issue except when I dealt with Americans. So I thought that was really ironic. I thought it was ironic then. But I was wary of stumbling upon that building again because I'd have to take another picture and then the whole thing would play out another time. We walked around. We saw castles and churches. I think we saw an entire choir group exiting one of the churches.
That's what my initial impression was, but we walked back around, and I was so curious, I had to ask, because it had a sign, they were coming out of a basement of, like, a church up in Old Town, and I thought, okay, maybe they sing, someone was singing when they walked out, so that, I think, maybe was partly why I assumed that, and it had a sign that said, off limits to tourists, or closed to tourists, so I was like, okay, is this, like, some special event for the locals, and I was just too curious, so I asked, you know, what are you all doing here? What is the purpose? And it turns out they had been watching a concert in the church, and were basically waiting for rides and on their way out.
Yeah, but are you sure? Because those were all teenagers, and I can't remember the last time a whole bunch of teen. Hold on. That's such a nice language. I can't remember the last time a whole bunch of teenagers said, hey, let's all go to the church and watch, you know, the choir. Usually they go with their parents or they get dragged unwillingly. The fact that these were all young people exiting at the same time, I don't know, maybe that was the choir and they were singing.
Yeah, it could have been a misunderstanding with my inquiry and which words to say what. I don't exactly know, but I made a point to find out because I was genuinely curious. But it could even be like a school program where it's the holiday season. I was assuming they were practicing because, well, in a week it's going to be Christmas. Maybe there's some kind of performance. But either way, they were there, they were participating, and no tourists were allowed.
And we didn't consider ourselves tourists, so we milled about and tried to find out everything that was going on. But it's great. You just see a bunch of people just kind of walking through the cobblestone streets, realizing that this place has been here forever and will probably be here for a much longer time. And it's just very comforting. It really is. They have great coffee here. Always get a good night's sleep somehow. It's really and the history too. The history of Estonia is something to study, as they were occupied by the Soviet Union up until the early 90s and gained their independence then, and they've been prospering since. They're one of the most connected countries on earth.